and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this half-hour show on travel. I'm doing a special Valentine's Day program this week. It will highlight a healthy combination of sex, travel, and fun. Oh, and you can bet there will be a good dose of romance as well. The whole show will be devoted to an interview with Dr. Pepper Schwartz, co-author of the book, The Great Sex Weekend. Dr. Schwartz is a professor of sociology at the University of Washington and a recognized national authority on sexuality. She is probably best known for her work as a columnist for Glamour magazine. I have Dr. Schwartz on the phone from the state of Washington. Hello there.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great today, thanks.
It's great to have you on the show. And I think we're going to have some fun with this, combining sex, travel, and fun. People often go away with a particular goal in mind. Their focus might be to improve their golf game, brush up on their culinary skills, or do some shopping. In your book, The Great Sex Weekend, you encourage people to put most of their energy into sex and the renewal of their love relationship. Please talk about this.
Well, you know, I think every couple needs to get away, to refocus on each other, to get away from the sort of the humdrum, mundane, but absolutely necessary patterns of life, and remember they're lovers, and remember they can surprise and delight each other. I think sex is a really important bond between couples. It's one of the main differentiators between close friends and a romantic, passionate relationship, and I don't think we ever want to lose that.
Why is it important for people to go on a weekend getaway in order to recharge their relationship?
Well, it's not essential, but you have to, if you're not going to go on a getaway, you better do something that makes your house unusual in the way you use it. Because what you're trying to do is break with all those things that preoccupy you when they're around, your kids being number one. But let's say that that's not the issue, but it's your papers on your desk. It's the phone that rings and tells you, you know, about your next duty that you hadn't thought about, or, you know, the whole cycle that takes you away from emotion and passion of everyday life. If you go away, you can pick a romantic setting that says that's what we're here for, to concentrate on each other. If you stay home, you have to battle the mundane. So what you need to do then is kind of, treat your house as if it were a B&B. Try and take all of those distractions away. It's a heck of a lot easier to do by going away. Pardon me.
The planning of such a getaway is key. And just like every trip, there's so many different variables that go into it. But if you want this to be really a special weekend or a special time of what away, the planning is key, as you outline in your book. And you talk about selecting the right place of lodging. And you also have a few words to say about B&Bs, as a matter of fact. Talk a little bit about the planning aspect of this.
Well, people may have expectations that they don't voice, but they'll find out they had them when they get there and it's not what they wanted. So I think it's really important to together figure out what you want, where you're going, exactly what room you would be getting, and what would be your privacy and what kinds of amenities they have. Just getting away is not going to be good for you if you go there and you're in a B&B where people can hear you breathe, much less, you know, make sensual noises, where you had to share a toilet, or whether you have plumbing that doesn't allow, for example, the two of you to get in bed and be in a bath together. And, you know, the kinds of things that, you know, maybe you don't have a little refrigerator in the room where you'd want to keep some champagne, et cetera. We need to think about, and in the book, The Great Sex Weekend, my co-author and I, Janet Lever, try and think of everything ahead of time so those disappointments don't happen. You know, and asking your partner, well, what are the things we want to do when we're not making love? Do you want to take walks? Are there places for beautiful hikes? Or are you in the middle of a shopping center, you know? And maybe that's not exactly what he or you think you should be doing with that kind of precious time. Does it have a golf course? Is that a good thing or a bad thing to you? Does it have a pool? Does it have great movies around it? Are there wonderful little streets to walk? Can you do the things that would appeal to you as part of this romantic getaway? Not the kind of getaway you do when maybe one of you has business or work and, you know, somebody comes along, but where you're planning this entire thing so that there's no false notes, that everything is romantic and sensual and private and fun.
Often women are the ones to handle most of the travel arrangements and, I guess I could say, planning in general. How can men get more involved?
Well, in the Great Sex Weekend, we say one of the ways to get more involved is to know that it's about great sex. So, for example...
Ta-da.
Yeah, I mean, you know, oh, okay, hey, what do I have to do?
That gets the guy's attention.
Absolutely. Suddenly he says, yeah, I'll get involved. Like, for example, we often say, well, maybe you guys would want to go, like, to a sex shop and shop together about something new to try together. I mean, he will usually be up with that or a sexy movie. Or, you know, maybe we want to go together and look for tidbits and champagne that, you know, it would be fun to drink and stay in a room and, you know, not pay an arm and a leg for it if we, you know, order it from the hotel and maybe we're someplace where it wouldn't be available. What if we went and bought each other a gift or planned on going to a lingerie store and picking something out together? Making the planning warm and romantic and intimate and together, and looking at the places to stay. You know, maybe he's saying, well, you know, I really would love to get, you know, a round of golf in. And you say, well, you know, okay, but we don't really want to do too many parallel things. So, okay, we'll do that, but we won't do X or Y. Or maybe on this particular trip, instead of that, let's go exploring in the car. There's a wonderful few little towns around there I'd love to see. And, you know, kind of negotiate until you get to the point where it sounds both wonderful and wonderful to both of you.
You mentioned sexy lingerie or going maybe picking up a few toys or that sort mm-hmm. of thing. You have a checklist in your book and it certainly gives packing another meaning in terms of getting ready for a trip. What I thought was really great was there's a lot of emphasis on the pre-trip phase, and not only the planning, the packing, but also talking about it, a lot of sort of verbal foreplay, as you talk about, and then you even recommend abstinence the week before.
Well, for some couples, that won't be a big deal, because they're not having a lot of sex, and, you know, so they won't notice. And the big thing will be when they actually take time for each other.
However, I just have to say, what I loved that you wrote in your book, which I have to say, I really enjoyed your book.
Thank you.
Was that the feedback, because you had a lot of couples test out all of your different ideas
right.
and positions or whatever else you suggest in the book. But you said the mere fact that people are told they can't do something makes them really want it. So for even those that might not be having regular sex, if they think, oh, we have to abstain for this week, then that's really going to make them more interested in it, in sex.
Well, exactly. And particularly if you match that with sort of saying, going through this book, for example, The Great Sex Weekend, and there's lots of choices of positions and things to do from the, you know, mundane, like maybe, but wonderful, like shampooing each other's head and giving each other a head massage in the shower or bathtub, which is just a lovely, sensual thing to do. You know, maybe things are a little bit more exotic, like trying out positions you haven't tried out. And I think when you talk about what you're going to do, the anticipation of that is like when you were dating. Will we make love? What will it be like? What will that be like to do something new with my husband or my wife or my long-term partner? Whatever builds anticipation imagery is good. I mean, a little heat going into this weekend is a good thing.
And, of course, that opens up communication, which is a very strong theme in your book. What are some of the ways couples can express their needs and desires to each other?
Well, one of the things is to take a book like mine or some other book and look at it together, like The Joy of Sex has these gorgeous pictures. And you go like, does that appeal to you? Not so much. But what about this? Well, you know, I actually am a little curious about that. What we tell people is to go through our book, and each of you take a different color magic marker, you know, that you can read through, like yellow or pink or something. And each of you do something, mark with the passages that appeal to you, and then go over and see where you've overlapped, your colors have overlapped, and talk about that. Maybe even suggest places where you haven't overlapped and talk about why you think that might be fun. The important thing is you're talking, you're opening up inhibitions. One of the things we really believe in is sharing fantasies, and most couples have not done that. And saying, well, why wouldn't that appeal to us? Or you know, why I'm worried about, you know, the things I think about, maybe you could think less of me if I talk about them. And just getting that intimate makes it not just a sexual experience, but one about closeness and trust and growth.
Right, and you present it in such a manner that it really helps people feel less inhibited. And even when I read about the role playing you suggested, well, at first I suppose it sounds a little goofy, but if you really assume that or even try it out, then who knows what you might discover.
You know, it's fun to have fun with one another. A lot of times, even if people have this abstinent week, which we recommend, what they've done is just not have the stuff that they did before. What we're trying to say is feel like this is something that's a little bit edgy, because edgy is erotic as long as it doesn't get to a place where it really offends your values. So the idea of a little role-playing could even be like replaying your first night together in bed, or your wedding night, or pretending that you were meeting for the first time, or reliving the way you met. It doesn't have to be that, you know, one of you is the pirate and the other one is the stowaway, but people do that too. My favorite one, we did give this book to couples to try out so that we could find out what worked and what was too much, because we actually recommended a 48-hour program and a 24-hour program for people who are really busy. And we wanted to make sure that this thing works for people. And so one of the fantasies that was, you know, one of my favorites in the book is this guy got a chauffeur's uniform, showed up at his wife's, he said, I'll be picking you up for dinner. He shows up at his wife's door wearing the chauffeur's uniform, pretending he is the chauffeur. She's all dressed up. She goes, he's got their car, but he asks her to sit in the back seat. And he drives her and starts to flirt with her. And so they have this little affairlet, you know, scenario that they both hugely enjoyed. But, of course, it's totally safe because it's between each other.
Right. And also that's when settings play a big role in that. If you're driving off to some elegant resort or some place that's new and exciting to you, then the whole travel aspect plays an important role in your getaway weekend.
Oh, absolutely. And so many wonderful places know exactly what the cues for romance are. For example, just having candles lit all over the place. And I often tell couples, watch carefully what a wonderful hotel does, because you can replicate some of that at home. You can bring back the idea that your whole bathroom is full of votive candles, or you have a little stand for the champagne to be near the bathtub with some rose petals on it. I mean, you can do that for yourself, too, but it's so wonderful when they do it for you and a little basket of goodies waiting for you. Or the light is turned down to just the right place where you feel beautiful. And, of course, candlelight or firelight always makes one feel more romantic and seductive. The places that really advertise as romance places really work. A lot of them, I've consulted with a lot of them, as you know, like Cambridge Beaches in Bermuda. They really work to keep the mood going. And they're working for you. If you work for you, it's going to be pretty hard not to be swept up in it.
I am visiting with Dr. Pepper Schwartz, the author of The Great Sex Weekend. And we're going to take a little bit of a break. and we will be right back.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, baby. Ooh. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Ooh, baby. I needed the shelter of someone's arms, and there you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs, and there you were. With sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotions. I wanna stop and thank you, baby.
Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Dr. Pepper Schwartz, author, co-author of the book The Great Sex Weekend, and also Dr. Schwartz contributed for many years to Glamour magazine, and we are talking about sex, travel, and fun. And I'm enjoying this, and I hope you listening, if you're hearing me, you're obviously listening, you're enjoying this too. Okay, so now, my bags are packed with all the sexy attire and accoutrements mm-hmm. I need for my great sex weekend. My partner and I are ready to go. Walk me through a sampling of your suggested lineup of events from Friday evening through Sunday afternoon.
Oh, sure. Well, we begin with usually it's a late afternoon that people get going. And so we try and take the pressure off that, oh, God, it's all going to start to be really passionate right away. So what we'd say is maybe you have dinner and you go out to take a walk before dinner. If it's nice weather, and you try and talk before or at the table, if you know you can't take a little walk, I always think that's kind of a nice thing to do if you can. About nice topics like your first days that you spent together, how it was when you first looked at each other, or remembering your wedding, or something where there's a lot of nice sentiment attached. I think you don't want to eat too much. Even though you want to have a really nice dinner, because being too full is not the most erotic way to enter the evening. And to keep the conversation about each other, not the kids, not work, but maybe about a dream vacation or the best vacation you ever had and what made it good, something that's romantic. Don't do business as usual. When you get back to the room, one of the things we suggest is to undress each other slowly. People get so used to, you know, just getting their clothes off, getting in bed, watching TV for a while, and then turning to each other when it's over. This time it's all about, you know, making love to each other. So actually undressing each other, and if you're really, you know, brave in front of a mirror, is really very sexy. And then to sort of rediscover kissing, to spend some time on kissing, using different little kisses, checking in on each other if, you know, nibbling or more pressure is better or not, but kissing longer and differently than you did before. We have an exercise that Masters and Johnson kind of specialized in called pleasuring that's recommended, where we're just trying to lengthen the moment of making love to each other as opposed to getting goal-directed, I think slowing it all down. So pleasuring is each person lying without clothes on and letting the other person touch them from their forehead to their toes on both sides with light touches or a little more pressure saying, that feels good, or I like that, or maybe a little less over there, no, that's not a good spot for me. And getting some information of new ways to be touched and being titillated, but not spending too much time, you know, on the body's, you know, most sensitive parts, but rather exploring the body as a general approach, the back, the neck, behind the knees, you know, the buttocks, the toes, maybe massaging the toes a little bit, creating anticipation even in front. In fact, we tell people if they could make love not to orgasm that night, to build up really more for the next day, that would be good. But people tend to disobey us on this one. So, if they do want to have an orgasm, you know, we give them some suggestions about how to make that a little bit special as well. And in all ways, there's always a list of things to consider, because this isn't a guide to be outrageous. This is a guide to please each other, and you want to be checking each other all the time if this feels good, if this feels comfortable. And hopefully you will have discussed some of this before, you know, picking out from the book or from other books what are the kinds of things that that please you or that you're curious about. The next morning, when people wake up, you know, we basically think that breakfast in bed is always warm and feels lush, and maybe taking time again to touch each other. But one of the really nice things that people don't usually have time for is taking a bath together. So taking a bath or shower, I think, not just soaping each other up and doing each other's hair, but I think it's very sexy when each person takes turns just kind of patting the other person's dry and maybe even combing or brushing the other person's hair. Just little attentions that feel really good. The other thing we do on that day is to talk about Sadie Hawkins Day. Now, you got to be old enough to know what that is, but it used to be an old cartoon by El Cap where there was Little Abner. And I think there was a movie like that, too, where there was one day a year the women got to decide everything. And usually in most couples, the women are more the responding person rather than directing. We think it might be different if a woman directs the action, what she wants, what position she wants, what order of things she wants, and she gets obliged. Now, if she's usually the directed person, then we think, you know, the other person, whatever kind of couple it is, straight or gay, whatever the other couple kind of couple it is, the other person then takes the lead if they're the person who doesn't usually take the lead. And that's a way for somebody who's sort of blended into their partner's sexual and love style to kind of create one their own. Maybe she wants to use a blindfold during foreplay. Maybe the other person really wants to try a position, but it's giving permission for someone else to take control of the action. And, you know, there's all kinds of suggestions of different things to do that might be fun. You know, obviously you don't want to turn this into a marathon, so we think that the afternoon ought to be doing one of these wonderful things that people can do, whether it's going out to lunch or antiquing or going to a museum or playing sports or whatever it is that, you know, you two really enjoy together.
The whole time thinking about what's ahead of them.
Well, exactly, because we really make Saturday night special, we hope. We hope a lot of verbal foreplay goes on, as well as figuring out what actually is going to happen. So, for example, we love the idea of swapping fantasies before you go to your room, verbal foreplay, maybe role-playing at the dining room table. If you really want to be naughty, she could go to dinner without panties on. Usually, a partner just knowing that that's the case is pretty much agog thinking about it, because I'm sure they haven't done that in a long time, or ever, maybe. And then, you know, after dinner, if people have already felt like they've been making love a lot, you know, maybe they want to watch a romantic movie. We suggest which ones are kind of great for both people. Or maybe you're ready to get a full body massage from each other, or hands and feet, just more attention to the body, maybe taking a bath if you want, and having sex there. We give some tips about how to do that. Maybe breathing exercises, tantric sex, very basic kinds of moves that feel intimate. All of it can lead to intercourse, or none of it can lead to intercourse, but it's a sense of sensual and sexual and affectionate attention. We give some eye-gazing suggestions. Just looking deep in somebody's eyes and not turning away is a very intimate thing. And Sunday morning, you know, people sleep in, and again, they don't have to feel like they're in a marathon, but because the funny thing about sex is, in some ways, the more you get, the more you want. You kind of build appetite by, it's just like eating. If you don't eat a lot, you kind of start to lose your appetite. If you do eat a lot, you know, you can't stop. So it's a little bit of that. And so we talk about maybe introducing sex toys if you shop for them and find some. And even if they they don't work for you, even if you think they're funny. If you're laughing together, that's just about as good as anything else you're doing. So we think it's a kind of a titillating experiment. We talk about people getting some lessons and being a little more verbal about what they want. And you know, talking about suggestions, about to talk about compliments about the parts of the body that you like in the person you're with, how much you're turned on when they do one thing or another that you specify, you know, words of affection and commitment and loyalty and delight. All of this, for some people, if they're even if they're not touched, then they don't feel loved. But for some people, if they're not spoken to, if they don't hear the spoken word, they don't feel quite right. And at the very end, at Sunday afternoon, we often do suggest two things. One is sitting down in a commitment for when we're going to do this next, because you don't want this to feel like a once-a-year thing. You want it to be something that re-ups your relationship all the time. And the other thing is to maybe either give a little gift or a little letter about something nice that you really thought or felt or experienced during the weekend. Maybe just three or four sentences, but something that's kind of a keepsake about what you're feeling then. And then you got to go back to real life.
Well, and now that we've experienced this great sex weekend, we're home resuming our regular lives. How do we keep the spark going?
Well, I think that's one reason you should be looking at some of the things in the book to emulate, like having a lot of votive candles, like thinking about using finger foods and having a little picnic in front of your fireplace or in your living room instead of at the kitchen table, about taking 2 hours out of the weekend and shutting the door and dimming the lights. I'm a big fan of dimmers. I think a lot of lights make us look so scary that we have to, you know, seduce ourselves by feeling good. There'll be a lot of things that you learned in this book or with each other and your fantasies that you need to give permission for because in your everyday life, because you can't do them all the time. And I think setting a specific date for the next time, 6 weeks, whatever it is, 2 months, one month, it's all important to know it's out there and to take little mini dates to remember that the more you act like lovers, the more you're going to be feeling like lovers and in love and special. This is using sex really as a metaphor for more and more intimacy, more and more trust. And there's lots of ways to do trust and intimacy, but I think sexuality has its own particular, not just emotional hit, but physiological one. The only two ways we produce oxytocin, which is our main bonding hormone, or at least the major ways, is either through breastfeeding, where we bond to a child, or it's expressed in both the male and female in orgasm. So we are actually building the bonds between us when we sexually and passionately and romantically relate to each other.
You provide a long list of hotels and resorts in your book. Many of them are perfect for great sex weekends. Well, in fact, I think you endorse them all, if I can say. You just think they're really special places.
Right.
Do you have any favorites within that list that you'd like to highlight?
Oh, gosh. You know, there's so many wonderful places. I really, one of the ones that I liked very much is the Hotel Saint-Germain in Dallas, Texas. They always have these wonderful romantic things, romantic scavenger hunts, great particular foods. I mean, they're so imaginative about sexy getaways. I'm very much, of course, a fan of Cambridge Beaches. We do couple getaways there and relationship seminars, but they have wonderful packages that have romantic, you know, the romantic packages where they actually will sculpt it towards your own special way of reminding each other about your, you know, wedding or anniversary or whatever.
And you said that's in Bermuda?
That's in Bermuda. Mm-hmm. Bermuda is a wonderful place, too. I mean, I tend to like islands in some ways because you get away, you know, there's a sense of release from everyday life that I think is particular to them, but not essential to them. It's just they're just great. I love the whole coastal kinds of places with dramatic dramatic vistas with the water coming back at you. Almost any any coast will do that for me. I love the San Juan Islands in Washington State. Hastings House on Salt Spring Island is just about as remote and romantic a getaway as you could ever possibly want. In San Francisco, if you wanted to splurge, the Sherman House is beyond measure. They have their own little dining room just for two, and the best views of San Francisco Bay that I can think of. And they're very, you know, oriented towards making you feel special. Hotel Monaco is bright and cheery. They have three or four hotels. I think one's in Denver, San Francisco, Seattle. There's quite a few of them now, and they do charming sorts of rooms, and they just make you feel in a great mood. So I think that that entire, sometimes people think, ooh, chains, they couldn't be special, but some groups actually do make them very special. I'm a huge fan of Bali. If you want to get exotic, that's my favorite place in the world outside of the United States. The Aman Resorts, one is in Wyoming. That's the only one in the United States, but they have quite a few in Bali. I've stayed in all of them, and they're so unbelievably romantic. We don't have enough time. I could take your entire show and rave about Aman Resorts and how and what they do.
And I think so much about romance or, you know, good sex is about being relaxed.
Yes, and feeling taken care of and no missteps. The sheets have a certain thread count. The lights are great. You know, there's nothing peeling off the walls. And there's a sense of specialness. And some of these places I've mentioned are quite expensive, but some aren't. I mean, the Hotel Monaco is moderate. I think there's the Inn at Langley on Whidbey Island that's medium. But I remember in Monaco there was a place called the Sura, and that was about $60 a night. And it had a beautiful indoor-outdoor tub and shower, and you were right by a little pool, and it just couldn't have been more darling and more romantic. So it's not always the price tag. It's the way people have positioned this place that make you feel that you're in a romantic place. Well, a place right near my house that I love is the Salish Inn, which is a lodge positioned in Snoqualmie, Washington, right on a waterfall that's got, you know, soaking tubs that open up so that you can watch the fireplace when you're in them, and there's wonderful, great things to walk around. In Colorado, I think you have a lot of lodges and places. The whole West has the lodge thing going, which I love them. I think the one thing I would be careful about is the lodges, the government lodges at Yosemite and places like that. They're very romantic from the outside, but often they're rather Spartan on the inside. So it's really good to do a little due diligence, depending on, you know, what kind of place you want. Sometimes you want some things to be a little bit rustic, and that's okay, but make sure that you both feel that way, and that you know, one person's idea of fun is the other person's idea of a bad time, you know?
Right. Now, Dr. Schwartz, you mentioned Bali, and mm-hmm. I think that's a good segue into just saying a word or two about your most recent book that came out this summer, and that's Adventures and Advice About Sex, Love, and the Sensual Years. Actually, I left off the first word there, prime.
Prime.
Yes.
Well, yes, it is a book that I did about dating after 55 and wanting to show that you could be just as passionate and sexy and as much adventure as you ever had when you were young. And so it's my story, so it's personal and it's explicit, but I think it's also, you know, my way of showing that, you know, we can always be into adventure and romantic travel and new experiences, whatever age we are. So part of it takes place in Bahrain and Dubai. I forget what I call them in the book. But definitely the last chapters in Bali where I go to kind of contemplate. I'm unhappily not there with a partner. I go with a good friend, but it's a great place for me to finish the book, and I have been there with a lover before, and I don't think there's anything in the world that's quite such a mixture of the spiritual and the exotic and the friendly and the sensual. Dinners on the beach, you know, being served by barbecue, by having your own little cove, hotels that take you on, you know, just two-person little trips in a boat along the coast and feed you, going on a walk and seeing a community ritual going on with the most beautiful young men and women practicing their dances, a temple that is surrounded by water when the tide comes in, and you know you can be there just at sunset before you have to get off the island and it's enclosed again. I mean, there's just so many moments on that island, and it's not the only place, but it's the last chapter of that book. I also talk about some wonderful experiences in Cancun at a Club Med, which is quite beautiful.
Dr. Schwartz, I have to interrupt. We need to wrap it up as it is. I've gone over, and I'm going to try. Oh, that's fine. I'm going to try and have an extra time slot for this show because I'm sure everybody will want to hear about sex, travel, and fun. And once again, the title of that book that you were just talking about is Prime, Adventures and Advice About Sex, Love, and the Sensual Years. And of course, there's a lot of travel in that book. And what we were talking about throughout most of the program was The Great Sex Weekend, and that's a book co-authored by Dr. Pepper Schwartz, today's guest, and Dr. Janet Lever. And the website is drpepperschwartz.com, and Schwartz is TZ at the end. And then the second site is drpepperprime.com, and that's for the new book. Dr. Schwartz, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Oh, I really appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about romance and travel. It's a passion of mine, and also thank you for letting Cambridge Beaches talk about their romantic programs the whole month of February. So if people are interested, it'd be great to see them there, too.
We'll have to check that out. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, it is. Close my eyes at night and wonder what would I be without you in my life. Everything was just a bore. All the things I did since I've done them before. But you brighten up all my day with a love so sweet in so many ways. I wanna stop and thank you, baby. I wanna stop and thank you, baby.
Welcome back to Travel Fun, and thank you again to Dr. Pepper Schwartz. If you would like to contact me with story ideas or feedback about my program, you may reach me at my website, which is www.therichesof.com. And there you can find lots of information about past Travel Fun shows and also sign up to receive my newsletter, which announces the show and the guests that I have. My next show is going to feature Aspen. Haven't done Aspen in a long time, and I will be interviewing Judd Hawk, the general manager of the historic Hotel Jerome. And then from Aspen, we're going to Provence, and I will be interviewing Judy Janowski, and we'll be talking about vacation in Provence and probably vacation in France and European travel in general. And she is from Provence Escapes. Okay, that's for the next show. I wish all of you a very happy Valentine's Day. And thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly,
let's fly away.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.
Fly with me, float down to Peru.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you.
Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied.